Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your power, your wonders working power, your might. And we thank you for all of the magnificent things that you've done for us. None of them we deserve. It's your goodness and it's your grace that has given us the opportunity to come before you and go through your word. Father, as we go through this third psalm today, I want to emphasize and show why it is it seems so hard to live for you and what it is and where it is we find our hope. Father, in walking and living and living and walking for you, we have trials, we have tests. The host of sin are pressing hard to draw us from our heavenly position with you, and our own flesh hates righteousness. Our flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. Help us, Lord, to realize that you're the one that lifts us up. Help us to understand that you're the one that will fight our battles. Father, we need you in every way. We need you in every way to be able to live this life in such a way that we're pleasing to you. Help us with all of our financial, physical, all of the problems that we have encountered because of bad decisions, because of sin, because of things that have happened to us outside of our control. Either way, Lord, cause us to look to you for our help and strength. Bless our assembly, that we would be focused in on what you want. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And even so, amen. Today's Saturday, August the 12th, 2017. We're back in the third Psalm, and it's important for us to understand that we started this third psalm and we went through it on Thursday night. We looked at it from the perspective of David after he had taken a man's wife, had sex with her, unprotected sex, and got her pregnant, and then tried to pretend like the baby wasn't his. Don't know, but I believe with all my heart, if they'd have had an abortion clinic, he'd have made an abortion. He'd have made her have an abortion. Can't prove it. But he surely did kill every instance of that father being able to call him up for doing that to his wife. Then God determined that I'm going to give you judgment and that it will never leave your house. But on the other side, this same God, Josiah, said that your sin has been covered. Your sin is covered. I removed it from you. But on this side over here, we find out that God's judgment is still real. I have not removed your consequence. Your sin is forgiven. Your judgment stays. Your sin is forgiven. Your judgment stays till I move it. But that's God's pattern. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. God said, in the day you eat, you shall die. They ate and it looked like they didn't die. So in order to understand what death is, we need to see what happened that day that you could see first and then begin to understand what God means. The first thing God did was he gave him a trial. I've watched. My eyes were on you. You listened to someone else's counsel instead of mine. You went from the way that I told you. You raged against me that someone told you you'd be as God. So he put them out of his presence. I would submit to you that when we look at death, God showed death on two forms back then. He showed death in the form that being away from his presence, being away from his provision, being away from having that fellowship and communion with him is death. separation, and then the seed of physical death was already there. Someone might think, Tim, I don't agree with that. Well, then reading your Bible, when Jesus tell a man, well, let me go first bury my father, then I'll follow you. Jesus said, I tell you what, you follow me and let the dead bury their dead. How can dead bury their dead unless he's talking on a higher level? It's important for me to see this. You already see the subject of the day. Why is it so hard, or why is following God so hard? What is the hope? I'm giving you just a taste of the background of where we are to understand where we're going to be. God created man. Man rebelled against God. The same thing that we saw in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed? Why did Adam rage? Why did Eve imagine a vain thing? Because she did not listen to the counsel of God, and she listened to the other counsel of something that looked good, pleasant to the eyes, make you wise. And when she did that, she went against God. I will submit to you, jumping all the way to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, what the Bible is showing us is that man do not like to retain God in his knowledge. They want to replace God. Romans 1 and 20 tell you the invisible things that his creation shows God's eternal power and Godhead. Man has no excuse. I believe it is the 17th or the 18th verse tell us we suppress the truth and unrighteousness. But when you read on down through Romans chapter 1, you find out they exchange the glory of God. Listen to me when I say this word. They exchange, or they change, the glory of God from the invisible, all-creative God to images like man, four-footed beast, and creeping things. And because of that, God gives them a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But man was made in the image of God. Man was supposed to reflect God's dignity, his honor, his power, and authority over the earth. Didn't he tell him he made a male and female, Genesis 1 and 26? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, etc. Be fruitful and multiply. Didn't he say it? Did Jesus change it? Jesus told Peter. Peter said, they said, Lord, teach us to pray like other people pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, pray our Father where? What kind of name? Hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom what? Your will be done. Where? How? That's the same thing. Dominion over the earth as it is in heaven. I submit to you, when you die, or when people die, they say ashes to ashes and what? The Bible tells us the Lord God formed man out of the what of the ground? And breathed into his nostrils the what? And man became a living soul. I will submit to you, we were supposed to reflect God in the earth. And the first place that we're supposed to control is the earth that we're in, our bodies. If you don't like it, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The Bible said our bodies are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said we have it from God and we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I do. Now, because man don't like God and because they want to exchange it for something else, man wants to take the place of God and do things his way. And because of that, those that love God, those that are trying to make it on earth like it is in heaven according to God's will, they get hated. So the song, when Jesus says in the 24th chapter of Luke, he says he tells them about himself in the song. All of this preamble is to show you why it seems so hard to follow God, and what is the hope. It's hard to follow God because man wants to take God's place. And because he wants to take God's place, he needs to erase God, kill God, and banish God. So since he can't do that, guess who gets to get the brunt of man's punishment? Those that are following God and obtaining power from him and living according to his rules. That's walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, that's not standing in the way of sinners, that's listening to his holy kingdoms in Psalms 2 that he has placed on Mount Zion. Listen to what the Bible says so you can begin to understand. Why is it so hard seemingly to follow God? The Bible says in Psalms 44, 22, listen to it. Yea, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep for the slaughter. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. If you want to say, Tim, that's Old Testament. That's in the days of David. Romans 8 and 36, Paul quotes it, as it is written. Listen, for thy sake. No other reason. For thy sake. Are we killed all the day long? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Any preacher, I raised my voice and I said it hard because I mean it, because I'm mad. Any preacher that tell you that if you're going to walk for God, it's going to be easy, everybody's going to love you, everything is going to go your way, he's telling a goddamnable lie, a goddamnable lie. It is not that way to follow God. It is not. It wasn't for Jeremiah. It wasn't for David. I'm talking about when David was righteous, it wasn't. And it wasn't for the Lord Jesus. Neither was it for Peter, neither was it for Paul or Antipas in the book of the Revelation, who was killed, a faithful martyr. The world hates God. And if you don't think that the world can hate God, ask yourself, anytime that you've been in ungodliness, whether you're stealing, lying, fornicating, homosexual, killing somebody, whatever it is you're doing, ask yourself, how much do you love God's ways when you're doing wrong? You don't want to hear about God's ways. You don't want nobody to tell you what God had to say because you learned to hate God's ways. But what did Jesus say about himself? I am the what? Way. You don't separate God from his ways. No more do I separate Josiah from his ways. If Josiah start lying to me, I will call him a liar. What won't I do with Josiah? Why is that? If the person can feel some embarrassment over it, maybe they'll change. We have people in politics lie all the time, and they just say it's politicians. No, you're a liar. The truth is not in you, and you hate God. You can't love the way, you can't love the truth of God and be a liar. All liars, according to Revelation 21 and 8, shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second what? Yeah. All right then, bless God forever. So we see the reason that it's hard is because of the fact man wants to kill God. They want to replace God. So we talked on Thursday about David, his wickedness, his ungodliness, how he took this man's wife, how he didn't defend his daughter when she was raped, how he didn't execute righteous judgment. And because of that, God said the sword would never be taken from his home. You murdered a man, you killed innocent blood, and now you are going to suffer, and yet you're forgiven. And so David has to go through all of this, what we've talked about, in the third Psalm. Listen to what David went through, because today we're going higher than David. We're going to Jesus today. But David was going through this because he had been wicked, because he had been ungodly, yet he had been forgiven at this time, and there still was consequences he had to go through. And had he tried to move away from his consequences outside the will of God, he'd have been damned. Bless God forever for his truth. David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You're not familiar with what went on. We talked about it in 1 Samuel 15 and 2 Samuel 15 and following. His son was going to take his kingdom from him and kill his daddy. Yes, the sword was in his house. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. So when they would sing the song, they would get to that part and they would do a pause. They might have stroked the harp a little bit because it was saying, in this case with David, you've done all of this. We know you've been an adulterer. We know you've been a murderer. We know you've been a liar. We know you brought other people in with this. You got Uriah killed and all the other men that you made go up against the wall. You are a bloody man, David. You are a cursed man, David. And it was true that he was cursed. According to Deuteronomy 28, if you take another man's wife, you're cursed. If you kill innocent blood, you're cursed. And it said, let all the people say amen. You don't have to look cursed to be cursed. You can be the most beautifulest one and be cursed. Cursed. But when God forgave him, he was no longer cursed. But when God forgave him, he said, guess what? This is your lot now. Judgment. The sword will never leave your house. Let me use Charlie Brown to help you understand this, okay? There's a little one on Charlie Brown they call Pigpen. And everywhere he goes, I think it's that little cloud that was right there with him. Little nasty little cloud that would be with him, okay? David, you are cleaned up now, but that cloud is with you because you gave the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme. They still blaspheme. They say David had sex with somebody else when he was married. David was murdered, and he still is a man after God's own heart. You're telling a lie. That's not God's heart to go against his will. Before David did it, he was a man after God's heart. When David took that woman, when David had that woman and killed that other man and lied, that was not after God's heart. You don't know the Bible. God does not tempt any man to sin, and God don't behold iniquity and love it, and all vile people are contemned before God. You better read your Bible, the 15th chapter of the Psalms. God don't even like you if you like a vile person. What? If you're going to walk uprightly in your eyes, a vile person should be condemned. Same thing that we say condemned. David had that cloud of judgment on him, and yet he was forgiven. And that's why it was hard on him. And I could imagine when Shimei, you all read that, and Shimei threw rocks at him and cursed, go up that bloody man. He was right. David had been a bloody man, Rich. How many people died up against the wall that didn't have to because you want to kill Uriah? But God had forgiven him. Remember, David was the king. There was no king to put David to death but God. And David went to God with pure worship, humble and a contrite spirit, and God forgave him. But he did not remove the consequence. So when you want to talk about David and what he did, why don't you talk about the consequences? Why don't you talk about David crying out when everybody looking at him now? Well, I know what you used to do. I know who you used to be. You did this and you can't tell me nothing. And so now you weak and you don't do. But David says, but thou, O Lord, art my shield. Even in the midst of my judgment, even in the midst of these things that's going on, you said, I won't die, Lord. That's what Andrina made me remember the other day. God said, you will not die, but the sword is not going to leave your home. Do you know what the sword is, Josiah? When God talks, going back to Deuteronomy, the sword is God's judgment. It is God's bloody judgment coming on a nation when I'm got to execute my wrath, my judgment. You did me wrong, David. I made you the judge. I made you the king. And you went out there, you used my power, my authority, my political civil authority, which has a religious power, and you use it for yourself like politicians do today. They take your money and go have sex. They take your money and go on trips. They take your money and pull people out of jail and give them pardons when they need it. They take your money and glorify and give themselves self-aggrandizement. God's looking. Preachers do the same thing. They tell you if you don't give the tithe, you're not in covenant with them. But what do they do? Buy jets, buy rockets, buy whores, pay people like Eddie Long, I called his name, did, and he paid Bernstein, the attorney Bernstein, to shut those boys up. And they couldn't tell the truth on what he did. This is not to be in God's house, but David was God's man. Well, somebody say, Tim, well, how do you know Eddie Long wasn't forgiven? He didn't do what God said. You're supposed to acknowledge your sin, acknowledge your fault before the assembly, get it right. David had to go through. At that time, he had to humble himself before Nathan. He could have killed him, but he didn't. And said, God, you're a shield for me. You're my glory, and you're the lifter up of my head. My head was hung down low. No doubt, I feel like, God, you'll never use me again. I've blown it. But the Bible says you lift up my head. Oh, wait till when we talk about Jesus. We almost through with what we call the background. And he said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. David had memories. David also knew that I asked the Lord to forgive me. We don't get to see him asking God for the forgiveness and coming back to God. We don't see that in 2 Samuel 12, but we surely get a taste of it in Psalms 32 and Psalm 51. Yes, we do. And now David said, I laid me down to sleep. Can you imagine when you've seen God, just like God, David has seen God in the different wars and the things that God had done and took him up out of the doggone sheepfold, when your own daddy won't bring you in the house, when the prophet come to anoint somebody to be king, he didn't think enough for you to bring you in the house. David remembered the time when that lion grabbed his sheep and he grabbed him by the beard. You know how big a head is of a lion? He said, I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him. I killed a bear. You get a bear at me. I don't want to be with him with a shotgun. No, I don't. I want something strong. David said he killed him. He said, Lord, I called. You answered me. I was able to sleep. And then he says, arise, Lord. He said, I'm not going to be afraid if 10,000 come. And they set themselves round about me. You said, I'm not going to die. But if you know anything about the life of David, and during that particular time, David made plans. He didn't just say, Lord, I pray, and I'm just going to stand on the promise. I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to confess it. A damnable liar. David got Hushai to go back and confuse the counsel of Ahithophel. He had Zadok and the other priests to be spies. David did what he could with what he knew and not knowing how it was going to come out, but I'm still trusting in you, God, because I can have the greatest plan in the world, but if God doesn't let it go and work out, it ain't going to work. Tell me I'm lying. And I know how ignorant you are just by telling me that. I don't mean to be that hard, but it's the truth. So he said, arise, O Lord, save me. You have smitten all my enemies on the cheekbone. They call themselves going to get me, but God, you done broke the teeth. They can't bite. They can't bite. They can gum you, but they can't bite you. When you'd rather be gone by somebody, and I ain't saying it won't hurt now. I knew a man that could eat a steak with his gums. Don't I know him, Jay? Then he used to go to Mount Calvary. He could eat a steak with his gums. But imagine the teeth. Yeah. Because the teeth have incisors and all of that, and they can cut through, but he gummed that steak. Yes, he did. Guess he was determined to eat it. So he says, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. No longer do I trust or feel good about myself. I've been brought down low. I've seen the depravity that can be within me. I trust you, Lord. There comes a time when we get good and have some victories and we start feeling a little good about our knowledge base and the victories we had. and we start feeling strong. But Paul says, let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Well, that's the life of David. It was hard for David because David was going through his judgment. The hope that David had is that God had said, I've forgiven you. The hope that David had is that no one's going to kill him. But prior to David doing all his wickedness and his ungodliness, he went through the exact same kind of thing. Saul was trying to kill him. Saul was trying to chase him. Saul turned the whole government against David. Saul was the king. They had David being a fugitive, running and living in dens and caves of the earth. And David was not doing wrong, but David knew at that particular time, the Lord is the one that allowed him to sleep. The Lord is the one that raised him up from the sheepfold and made him a king. David also realized that the Lord was his salvation. And as we go through the Psalms, David would tell you that sometimes God gave me supernatural strength to fight. He said he made my feet like deer feet. Or hind feet. I didn't even fall with times I should have been falling, but I had a sure grip. But Jesus said these Psalms, talking about him. How are you going to apply this Psalm to Jesus when you just said David was wicked, when David had done wrong and he was forgiven? Let's look at what the Bible says. It says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. First thing I want you to understand is, number one, Absalom is a relative of David. Absalom is his son. This is his own flesh and blood. This is one who should have been able to have some respect for David, not just because he was the position of the anointed one of God, the king of God. He was his father as well. There is some issues where you deal with the wickedness or the ungodliness of someone in your family that's a parent or whatever, but there's still a line you have to walk. My mama say something wrong to me, I don't get to go slap her in the face. I should be put to death for that. It don't matter that I'm 56 years old. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, and he quoted, he didn't strike mother, father, let him die to death. He didn't change it. We did. Well, we didn't keep his laws. To the point being made here, when you think about Jesus, think of him in the context of his family. John 1 and 10, he came to his own received him not, right? Think of in terms of him getting ready to be crucified. He was before Pilate, he was before the chief priests, elders, scribes, and all of those people that was his natural born Hebrew brothers. They put him to death. You think I'm lying? Go read Acts chapter 2 on your own and Acts chapter 4 on your own. We've covered some of these scriptures before. I'm just kind of give you a flavor now to see how we're going to see Jesus. You with me? Now he says, Lord, how they are increased that trouble me. Many that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for God. Or for him in God, Selah. Jesus comes out and start preaching. Look, let's go before he preached. Jesus is born. And he's not even a full 2 years old. If he is a full 2 years old, Herod is sending a delegation to find out where he is so we can kill him. A delegation. And so when they don't come back with the news, what does he do? He goes in, send the people to Bethlehem and start killing all of the children. This is before he even begins to be king. So then we get him by the time he start preaching the gospel after the Holy Spirit has been, Satan attacks him. Well, you know, you might not feel like that's a big deal because maybe you just read the passage and you don't realize the pull and the power of Satan, but I bet you realize the pull and power of your flesh. And that's not even Satan. That's just temptation. But then he starts to preach and they call him a demon. You're the prince of devils, Beelzebub. You start saying that you're healing on the Sabbath. You're going against God, kill him. He's breaking the Sabbath.
going to heal somebody. It's plenty of days you can do that. But you don't do it on Sabbath.
He makes a man that's blind see. He's got a demon. He's a sinner. Up here in the temple, opening the eyes of the blind.
He's raising the dead. He raised Lazarus. Well, if we don't stop him, everybody's going to follow this line.
He's a mess. That's the best way I can say it. He goes on and he starts telling them, you've been lied to. You've heard it has been said, love your enemies. I mean, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say, you've heard it been said, you're supposed to wash your hand a certain way. And I'm going to tell you, it's nothing that you eat or that you drink that defiles you. It's the stuff that they teach you with their traditions when they go against God to kill you. Many there be that rise up against him. I could have went through the whole Testament of New Testament of his life, but you all are familiar. They rose up against him. Why? Because they hate God. Why is life so hard for him? It's because of the fact that he's standing for God. He is trying to make it on earth as it is in heaven. He told them the kingdom of God is at hand. Here he is coming, bringing in the kingdom of God, bringing in God's righteousness, and they want to get rid of him because they want to get rid of God. According to John chapter 14 and 9, I believe it is, Philip says, show us the Father, and that'll suffice us. If it's not 9, I bet you it's 8. He says, show us the Father, it will suffice us. He said, have I been this long with you, Philip? It is 8. Thank you, precious. He said, and you're going to say, show us the Father? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the ways of the Father. You want to know, because I want to show you Jesus and I want to show you us. Why it is when people will hate you and call you goody two-shoes or say, I can't have you around. You'll blow my high. I've been told that many times. You'll blow my high. You want to know why they don't want you around? You want to know why they will lie on you? If you are reflecting God, this will happen. So we move from David now. I told you the life of David before. This happened to him. After he was ungodly, he was going to reflect what it's like to go through and accept the chastening of the Lord. And go to Hebrews 12 and 8 for me, because I want you to see it, because I don't want to keep talking about David, but I do want you to see that that was a magnificent thing that we learned in the life of David when David was going through his stuff. Hebrews 12 and 8, I know it talk about chastening. I think it's like Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. That's not what I want. Read on down to where it talk about no chastening of the Lord is joyous, but is grievous, but afterward it yields a peaceable fruit to those that are exercised thereby. It may be 9. It's 11. I knew it was in the neighborhood. I knew I was on the right street, but I was at the wrong house. Read it, somebody.
Now no chastening for the present seeming to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised.
Go up 2 verses and let us see why we get that chastening. What verse is that one?
9.
I was close. I keep getting these 8 and 9s wrong today, but go ahead.
So let's start at 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons.
If God doesn't break you off something, if God does not give you what you need when you're wrong, if God doesn't hurt you, if God doesn't chasten you, you better hear me. You better hear me well. Let me change my voice. If when you know that you've been living wickedly and God does not chasten you, if God doesn't hurt you, make you lose something, or cause your life to be difficult, you better believe he's done you like he's done people. When he doesn't execute his judgment on you, when he allows you to treasure up wrath against the day of wrath, Romans 2 and 5, when he's turned you over to a reprobate mind, if God is not giving you a hard time in your dirt and you know you've done dirt, he's letting you pile it up. He's doing the same thing like I will if I can't catch a rat and I got to kill it. I'll put some food on the trap and I will not set it. I'll just let him go 2 or 3 days and eat off of it.
But on day 5.
After he's got comfortable and the neck is broken, and the flies have found something to eat, especially in the summertime. I don't know how God allows them to find it so fast, but the big flies start flying around. This is what God is doing. If God does not chasten you, if God does not get you when you do dirt, be scared. Be scared. Rich, that's what happened to me. I was scared. It's like, God ain't doing nothing to me. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Read it again, Gary, because I won't tell that story no more.
But if even without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
David had to go through, but he was to be an example for us. Lord, you lift up my head. Lord, they talking about me. Lord, but you let me sleep. Lord, you said they're not going to kill me. Lord, you raised me up. Lord, you my salvation. But when it comes to Jesus, he had done no wrong, but he was being chastened for us. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And if he didn't go through the chastisement, if he wouldn't have been buffeted, that would just be words. But he did no wrong. And they were raising themselves up against him. They were saying, there is no help for God in him. Listen, I'm telling you the word of God. I'm telling you that Jesus has gone through things. And I'm telling you, he didn't deserve it, but often we do. Somebody say, Tim, speak for yourself. Well, often I have. And if you're one of those magnificent people that have never deserved any judgment from God, you're in self-deception. I can't even say I'm sorry for you. Not like that. You're in self-deception. But I want you to listen to how this talks. I'm going to give you a few scriptures because I already got them logged in. Now in Psalms 22 and 7, if you want to write it down, these are the ones that Jesus quoted a lot on the cross. Listen to Psalms 22 and 7. We'll be there in a few weeks. It says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and shake the head, saying, can you imagine him wagging the head? He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. You know how bad that must feel? You walk with God, and people say, God don't care that for you. The life of a Christian, the life of a child of God is hard because it doesn't always go your way. It doesn't always look like you want it to. You are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You are. And the Lord Jesus was. Are you going to follow him? He did no sin. But you say, well, what if I, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to be tested? Gary's going to go to Colossians 1 and 24. He probably already know it by heart, but he's going to go to it and read it. There's a reason that we go through things. I explained it from the top when I say we represent God. But there's even more, and if you're already there, you can read it because Gary's slipping. You got a computer.
Who now rejoice in my suffering.
Paul say he rejoiced in his sufferings.
For you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church.
Jesus went through and was attacked because the world got a certain amount of wickedness that is going to pile up and build up before God comes back and bring the final judgment to the earth. And so the world is being indicted because it's trying to attack Christ. It's trying to fight God. And Paul is saying, there are some suffering that I'm taking for you. There are some suffering that I'm taking and because of the fact I am representing Christ. There are sufferings that Christ still has. And if we're the body of Christ, we go through what he went through. so we can say, Lord, they against us. Lord, they increase. They increase against us. They say there ain't no hope for God in us because of the fact it doesn't look like it. That's why it seems so hard for a child of God, is because you're doing big things. You're doing big things for him. It's not about you. Any church, any pastor tell you that God want to make you happy. Where in the world he get that from? To make me happy might be something sinful I want. Have you ever in your life had something you know that was wrong, but if God gave it to you, it would make you happy and make God sinful? God, how stupid can we be? Read 11:36 in the book of Romans, please. It's not about you. It's not about Tim Merritt. It wasn't about David. It was about God. And when we get to Jesus, it's about Jesus. What does Romans 11:36 say? It helps you get your mind right when you think about God.
For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen.
It's about him. Of him, through him, and to him. Look, we representing him. It's about what he wants. Don't you think some people would like to be born? Don't you think Jelly would like to be born with no physical condition? Don't you think Jay would like to have no condition he had to deal with? Don't you think that some of us would like to be tall as rich? Don't you think some people would like to be light-skinned or some dark-skinned? Don't you think some would like to be smarter? But God put you in the body as he sees fit. Read 1 Corinthians 12. He tells you, I do what I want to do. I'll put you where I want you to be. Some people want to be black. Some people want to be white. Some people might want to be Puerto Rican. God made you what he wants you to be. And the thing is that now that you are that, do the best that you can in there to reflect him so that you can be like his son. Because it's not by any flesh that any man is going to be able to please God. Now let's go back to our sweet text. There's no help for him in God. It's not about what you see. I want to move a little further. There's other ones. You can write down Psalm 42:3. And you can write down 71:11. It says the same sentiment. But I want to move a little bit closer to Jesus. Listen to what they said to Jesus on the cross. Matthew 27:42. The other ones I gave you were Psalm 42:3, Psalm 71:11. And just listen to Jesus. On the cross, well, this is somebody talking to Jesus. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. Luke 19:38. I want you to hear the other way this is said. Saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. And glory to God in the highest. I'm surely reading that wrong. I hate when I read something wrong. Luke.
What?
It's Luke 19:38. I'll slow it down and read it 37.
What was Matthew 27:42.
And Luke in the 19:37. Listen, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus goes to tell them pretty much if he did it, the stones would cry out. You say that there's nothing that they see in him. You can't say this about him. Rebuke them. They wrong for that. You ever hear black people, sometimes they have some nice little saying, he wrong for that. He wrong for that. My last one showing you on this one is Luke 23:35. Listen to it. Jesus up there, and it says, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Let's go back to Psalm and look at what we're looking at. When Jesus said, the Psalm speak of him, many to be that rise up against me with their mouth, with their derision. And it says, they say of my soul, there is no hope for him in God. This is what Jesus went through. And if you're going to follow him, it's hard. It's hard. Don't expect folk to see it. Don't even expect me to see it all the time. Don't expect those that love God to see it all the time. But we can see your actions. We can see how you walk. We don't know if you're going through something and you sin and you're going to stop, because God's going to give you one last good beating. All we can do is see what you're doing now. We know how the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. But sometimes people will never let you live down what you've done. In the case with Jesus, because he suffered from our sins, he couldn't live it down. He's on the cross. You would think they would have compassion. But listen to this, and I want you to never forget it. Aunt Ruby, Jesus is on the cross suffering for our sins, and they're mocking him. Do you understand one of the reasons that they're mocking him is that that's the sign of a curse, him hanging on the cross? That's the sign of a curse. So they're mocking him. Why is it so hard? It's because it doesn't look like what man think. It's because of the fact we truly are representing God. And that's why they hate you. That's why they'll rise up against you. And that's why they can mock you. And you don't all of the time get the victory in this life like preachers say. I don't care what T.D. Jakes say. He lies. You don't just get to go and claim stuff. You speak arrogantly, what you should say, the Lord's will, we will do thus and so. Read on, Tim. Then it says, verse 3, but thou, O Lord, this is the second time he called God, I am a Lord. It says, but thou, O Lord, Yahweh, are a shield for me. They run in their mouth. They talking against him. His own don't want him. But he says, Lord, you are a shield for me. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 6. I want Anne to get Ephesians 6 and 13. I'm going to read it from Isaiah 59 and 17. David said, you are a shield for me. Listen to what we're going to learn from this, how this is applicable to Jesus. In Isaiah 59 and 17, it says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Now, if you're familiar with Isaiah starting around 52, he started talking about servant. He says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. A breastplate is a shield, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. There's a spiritual armor. And most of the time growing up, reading commentaries and things like that, they talk about the armor of God, and they show you the Romans. You know, the Romans clothes that they would go. And Ann said, why you use that when the Bible got its own armor, picture armor in there? Why are you using that one? Why would they be referring to the Roman instead of the Bible first? And I took the correction. Now let's read it in Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see why it's so important when he says, you are a shield for me. Read it, Gary. 13. Yes.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
That's good enough. I just want you to understand when he's talking about God was his shield, this is because he trusted his Father. This is because he prepared himself. He said, I delight to do your will, O God. So no matter what was happening to Jesus, it didn't look like he had a shield. They were still beating him. They were still lying on him. They still didn't want him to come in the synagogue. They worked up a conspiracy. against him. You know how they talk about what it's called when Donald Trump says fake news, and I say there's no fake news, they lie. They had lies on Jesus. When they got ready to kill him, they said, well, you know, he's ain't gonna tear that temple down in 3 days and raise it back up. They said he cast out demons by death. They lied. They spread the lies. Always an attack. And the thing is, it says God was his shield. I will submit to you that if you think naturally, when you have a shield on, does that mean if the shield is working, doesn't that mean you got hit? You ever heard of a policeman getting shot with a bulletproof vest on? Don't they still feel it?
Yeah.
Don't they still hurt? But it doesn't kill them. We better start understanding when we read the Bible and stop thinking like Captain America's shield. And when Captain America has his shield, he don't get hurt. The shield of faith is to keep you from giving in. It doesn't stop stuff from happening. No, it doesn't stop it. The shield of faith, unbroken, is when you keep trusting God anyway, irrespective of what happens, because you know that the hope that there is God's going to be faithful. Hebrews 11 said they wandered around in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, tormented, and afflicted. They were sawn asunder of whom the world was not worthy, and they obtained something better. They didn't get it right now. The shield of faith helps you to hold on. The shield of faith don't stop stuff from happening. The shield of faith didn't stop our son from being killed. Shield of faith didn't stop Papa from dying. It didn't stop him from being on oxygen. It didn't stop him from having hard times breathing, or Gary having surgery, or Rich having issues he got to deal with, or Jelly going through, or Jane, or everybody. The shield of faith don't stop everything, but what it does is it keeps you from falling. It keeps you from turning against God. Read your Bible. The shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If there are no fiery darts, you don't quench nothing. Oh, we better read, but we better learn to read, get off this third grade level. And I'm not saying that because somebody said they can't read. I'm talking about when people are playing with God's word preaching. Then he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. I just want to flip back to David just a half a hair, okay? David knew he was being punished, but I ain't letting my shield go. I don't know what else is going to happen. I know four of my sons going to die because he said he was going to take four, but I got my shield. You want to know why it's hard? They hate God. They hate his ways. They hate Jesus. What's our hope? Holding on to God to the end. He is our salvation. Our salvation is in this life as well as the life to come. Then he says, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I had some stuff written down, but I can quote it to you. You see, 2:8 Philippians show that Jesus went through, and he went through all of the punishment and everything that the world could throw on God and on a human being that represents God. And it said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But how did he lift his head up? Wherefore also God has highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and he is sitting in the heavenly places right now. He is a lifter. Don't you understand these Psalms? Jesus said, no man can fulfill this like me. I ain't done no wrong. I know how to hold the shield. And you did give me glory. You did lift up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Do you understand this? Go to Luke 22:44, Gary, and go to Hebrews 5:7. We all know that the things that David went through, he went through for his reason and his chastisement, which is good To bear his own iniquity, and it's an example to us. But Jesus, going through these things, didn't deserve it. But because he was going to take the punishment, he had to take it for real. It wasn't play. For real. What does it say, Gary, in that Luke 22:44, which is so pretty?
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Now notice what he says. He said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Let's see if I'm right. Give me Hebrews 5:7, Andrea. It's so pretty.
Who in the days of his flesh.
That's talking about Jesus.
When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
Do you see this? I'm not just taking scriptures at random because I got a computer and I can pull up scripture to say what I want to say. It's got to fit the whole panoply, which means the whole gamut, the whole construct of the scriptures. It needs to be able to be verified, validated, and authenticated, and I can do those things with that. He cried to God. He prayed to God. He asked God to remove the cup. God said no. So hold your shield. Hold your shield. You got to go through because they want to kill me. And since you are God in the flesh, I'm going to let them kill God for the first time like they want to. But they'll kill God in the flesh. But the ground ain't going to hold you because I'm the lifter up of your head. I'm the one that's going to raise you up. I'm the one that's going to give you glory. And it don't matter how many thousand come against you. You are my son and I'm well pleased. And the thing that should be telling us is no matter what, although we are counted for sheep on the slaughter, although the life is hard for a person following God, there is hope. My mom used to sing a song, the whole summation of my summation of this lesson today, the only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, well, what about the Father? Do you think the Son came on his own? Do you think he came to do his own will? Do you think he was speaking his own words? No. He said, you honor me like you honor the Father. The only hope we have. But why is the life hard? It's because it's supposed they hate God. That don't mean there's no pleasure. It don't mean there's no joy. But unless you're not paying attention, there's some hardship. They say, I cried. He heard me out of his holy hill. Now remember, that's what God installs his king, according to the second psalm. He said, I laid me down and slept. I was going to read, but when time moved, I started quoting. Do you remember when Jesus was going through things, teaching and going through the hardship with the disciples? And sometimes he wasn't being attacked. It's just sometimes you just out there in the deep. You just out there going through things. You out there in the storm, but what? I laid me down to sleep. I ain't worried about the storm of men. I'm not worried about the storm on the sea. I'm not worried about the storm of my own not liking me. I'm not worried about the storms of the princes of this earth, according to 1 Corinthians 2:8. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 2:8. Check and see if I'm right in the Corinthians, where it said the princes of the world, if they had known and doing what they did, they would have been defeated. They wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. I ain't worried. And he says, I'll awaken for the Lord sustain me. The Lord is the one that sustained him. The Lord is the one that built him up. It's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:8. Okay. And that's why when they talk and when you hear the apostles talking to the people, he said, it's been said, thou will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will he suffer his holy one to see corruption. Do you all remember in the second psalm last week when God foretold of his anointing, he said, ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. All those that hate you, all those that run in their mouth, all those that got something to say, all those that want to kill you, I'll give you to them. You'll be over them. I'll give you the heathen for the inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. It's the hope. Do you understand? If you don't understand, Rich, Remember, Jesus said, if you overcome, I'll let you inherit with me. He said, I'll let you rule with me. I'll let you sit on the throne with me. That's our hope. Jesus is our hope embodied in the flesh. That is worth it. It's worth it. Glory to God. Bless his everlasting name. Verse 6 and 7. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves round against me. And God knows I got plenty, but I'm going to just kind of give you in the 19th chapter of John. You can write it down. The people start saying, away with him, crucify him. The whole mob. He was not afraid. 27, Matthew 31. They mocked him and tore his robe off of him. And they led him away to crucify him. He was not afraid. We know that. We know that the women were crying. He said, oh, don't be crying for me. Cry for yourself. And your children. You better add that on there. Because I'm not the one that's afraid. And then Jesus told them, Matthew 26 and 31. He said, all you will be offended because of me this night. Everybody else don't like me. The ones that's mad at me, the ones that want to kill me, the ones that go with the Roman government, saying, all you disciples, you're going to be offended against me. He said, but it's written, smite the shepherd, and the flock will be scattered abroad. John 19, 10th verse. He tells him, you don't have no power over me except what God gave. He's talking to Pilate. He said, this is why you have power. Pilate said, don't you know I can release you? You want to show me some honor? Listen, boy. You know, hear my words. You have no power given on me. Talking about you got power to do this. It's been given to you to do that. In other words, I ain't afraid. You could say in some way Jesus defied him and he didn't even answer him at first. He didn't even answer him a word. Then you see that the princes of the world, I already had Ann to read that. They came against him. This scripture says, I will not be afraid. Why is that? Because I know what my destiny is. I know what it's going to be. It was supposed to be hard for me because they want to kill you. But in order to carry this load, I got to do it. That's why I kept telling them I got a cross to bear. And then he says, listen to this. This is so pretty. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. They are nailing me on the cross. They have determined I'm nothing. They determined I got to die. They have drugged me up to this hill. They beat me all night long. They laugh. They selling my clothes. They casting lots for my garments. But guess what? Guess what? All they doing is garment me. Yeah, they gnashing on me with their teeth, but they not tearing me apart. They not even going to be able to break my bones. They can't keep me in the grave. Death can't keep me in the ground. That's what Dallas Holmes said in his song. No matter what, I rise again. Do you understand that this is the best that they had, Jane? And he said, God has broken their teeth. They cannot devour me. Oh, they can gum me. They might, but that's all. And Jesus taught his disciples, 10:28 Matthew, what does it say? Fear not man that can what? And that's all. But rather fear him. And cast it into hell. And so he says, salvation belongeth to Yahweh, to the Lord. Thy blessing upon thy people, thy bless. See, when he says this, the deliverance is in you. I'm being attacked because of you. I'm being mistreated because of you, because of what I want to do, because I know what you want, and I want to stand for you for the people. That's why I'm going through, and this is why you're fighting for me. Why is it hard? They hate God. If the world hates you, Jesus said, you know it hated me first. I believe that's John 15, about the last two or three verses before you get to 16. But if the world loves you, they spoke well of the false prophets also. And they still speak well of false prophets today. But he says, salvation belongeth to the Lord. Deliverance belongeth to him. Not to the United States government. Not to nuclear weapons. Not to your bank account. Not to your friend. Not to your policeman. Not to your karate. Not to your pistol. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Even if one of those entities help you, salvation belongs to the Lord. He is the one that does it. And notice this last little part right here. Thy blessing is upon thy people. It would look like during a certain time the blessing was on the Canaanites. It would look like the blessing was on the Egyptians. It would look like the blessing was on Tyre. They had the merchant ship. It would look like the blessing was on Babylon. They ruled and they built a fake mountain. Built a fake mountain for this man's wife. It looked like the blessing is on Persia. Imagine, Jelly, that a man has enough money that he can throw a party for 6 months. That he can take women and get all the virgins that he wants and for a whole year, let them go to beauty school and have a makeover for a whole year. It looked like the blessing is on Persia. It would look like the blessing is on Greek for sure. They conquering nations. Look like the blessing is on Rome. You conquered that nation and you rule in that part of the world. No. People that are under you in subjugation that follow me. The people that were under Nebuchadnezzar that followed me. The people like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, the blessing were on them. Jesus looked like he was cursed. He looked like he was rejected. He looked like he was marred among all the people of all the earth. The blessing was on him. When you're following God, and we see that the Psalms really are about him, if you are one of his people, the blessing is on you. But if you don't get what he told those people on the road to Emmaus when they were disheartened, they were saddened, and he said, should not Christ have suffered and died and entered his glory? Then he opened the scriptures. He opened them in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning himself. Didn't he say he did that? Well, then understand this. He said before he did it, must Christ suffer and then enter his glory? This is why it's hard, but it's worth it. And our hope is that the salvation of God is on us, that the blessing of God is on us, and that we are counted worthy as sheep for the slaughter for God, because all things are by him, or to him, through him, and for him. To him be glory forever and ever. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us see what a real shield of faith is. Thank you for letting us understand that things go the way that they are because this world is fallen. We hate you as people. We hate your ways as people. And we want to alleviate everything. But you have a pattern set. And when the day comes, you're going to give us the totality of our salvation. The totality of our glory, the totality of lifting us up, just like you lifted your son up. Help us to be faithful unto death, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.